Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 62, part 2 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levitsy, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. First off, a major apology for the delay on this episode, as we had some major technical difficulties editing the show, but it's finally out to you. The New York Comic Con wrap-up. Juan, Rav, Danny, Brent, and I get in-depth on New York Comic Con, and Brent pretends that he went. Here now, Comic Timing.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levitstein, and welcome to episode 62, part 2 of Comic Timing. Well, I've got about 30% of my voice left, so that's kind of why I sound like I might be a little bit muffled right now. It's not Skype, I promise. And we're joined by a guy who had a really wonderful time at New York Comic Con, co-host, Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent? Haven't seen you in a while.
It was so awesome to be there, you know, just reading about it online and watching the videos on Newsarama made me feel like I was actually there with you guys. Except I didn't have Raph there all weekend telling me his parents were dead.
That's why I had to work it into the recording on episode 62, part 1.
That was parents are dead.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because Russell just wouldn't have felt like a normal day. But it's funny. I sort of felt like your astral projection was there a couple times. Like, have you been training with Dr. Strange at all?
Well, I told you my idea, what was it, last Wednesday or whatever, and you totally shot me down. I had this idea where I was like, hey, Ian, I could send you, a picture of me, smiling and me, in a frowny face, and could paste them together and put them on a popsicle stick so that you could, if somebody asks you a stupid question, you could just spin me around. Smiling would be yes, and frowny face would be no. Or, frowny face would be, get the fuck away or something like that.
And now it's time for Ask Brent Cassino.
He was totally that's lame. And I was like,
well, then I guess I can get to you.
Oh, boy. All right. And
I'm sure nobody he told about the podcast was like, he was like, oh, and I have a co-host, too. I bet it was all like, yeah, I have a podcast, Comic Timing, and da 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 da.
Hey, no. I said to almost everybody who came by, except for one or two people where I slipped, that... Mm-hmm. Yes, actually, you know, we're a rotating panel of guests podcast, and we do it via Skype, and it changes up every single week, except for my co-host, who's on every episode.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Except for the last one, which you weren't on. Also joined by Danny, Juan, and Raph. Danny hasn't been on Geeks Unite in a while, but this is, I guess, the original crew for Geeks Unite. So first I'll introduce Danny you've never actually been on Comic Timing before, have you? Except for the last episode.
Nope. Well, and we'll to be here.
Booyah. Via the phone, because the internet is a crazy place that doesn't always work.
Yeah, especially in my house. Apparently the internet and the project don't mix.
I'm going to go with badgers. I think badgers cut through the wires.
Because badgers are readily available in New York State.
Of course. Joining us for the first time on Comic Timing. Joining us on Comic Timing for the first time in a while, Juan de Jesus. What's going on, Juan?
Hey, what's up? I'm two figures away from getting my new Teen Titans HeroClix set. I'm talking Jeff Johns team, not like the Perez team. I already got that.
Booyah.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Booyah.
Booyah kasha.
Booyah. I got a number at the con, and she isn't ugly.
Yay!
I'm ugly.
And also joined by a man who was at the con all 3 days, it's Rap Suhu.
My parents are alive.
Yay!
Yeah, but Juan, what if you have low standards?
What happened?
Did you just make the joke that I thought you made, Brent?
Do you seriously want to repeat that, Brent? Because if you do, then Juan might punch you through the internet.
Nah.
Okay. All right, that's fine. What's going on, Raph?
Oh, it's going good. I had a great time at the con Saturday and Sunday, all 2 hours that I was there.
Hey, 2 hours is better than nothing, right?
Yeah, and Monday was terrific. The after con was terrific.
We'll get to that later. Well, for most of this episode, we'll have Brent asking us questions about the con because, that's what his job will be since, you know, all he really saw was the Newsarama stuff. But let's actually start things off first. I know we had a quick summary last time around on episode, 62, part 1. But I'll start with Raph, considering that he didn't give his summary of the con since he wasn't there. Give us a quick summary of what you experienced at New York Comic Con 2008.
I didn't do much. I didn't do any panels this year. On Friday, I decided to walk the con floor as much as I can. And, just having my podcast there for the first time was awesome. A lot of people came up. Juan and Danny got a lot of interviews, and you know, I spoke to a lot of people about being on the show and about checking us out, and it was a different experience, because last year I was all about the autographs and the panels and all that, and, you know, as a you know full out 100% fanboy, because we all know I am. But this year it was more about just, you know, appreciating the con and being a podcaster, you know, trying to get my voice out there and just enjoying it for what it was. I mean, the fact that I know so many professionals through Geeks Unite and through being on the CGS forum and the comic forums in general is terrific. It was a great experience, even though I didn't do much in terms of like other stuff. Oh, and I won everything at Jimmy and Joe's raffle.
Yes.
And I do mean everything.
Yes, yes. You totally did because you suck. You suck hard.
Hey, it was for charity.
Hey, I'm not gonna complain. He won me something.
What did you win?
I won a small stack of comics.
Oh, cool.
And,
that's good.
Which is nice. And Juan also won something due to your raffle.
Yeah. See, look at that. I am unstoppable when it comes to. It's a meeful. It's not a raffle. It's a meeful.
Now I didn't win anything at that particular raffle, but I did win something important on Saturday. And I'll just mention it now, because this is probably the best prize they gave away at that entire thing. I won beer and sausage.
Sacrilegious.
Yes.
Don't forget the beer.
Yes, the beer and the sausage, dude. And that's what makes it all worthwhile. English beer, direct from Amy, and sausage from Mike in from CGS New York. And, yeah, beer and sausage. Everybody knows how much I love eating sausage.
Was it store-bought or from, like, Chippendales or something, that sausage?
The sausage, actually, the sausage was store-bought. It was Vienna sausage. So it came directly from Vienna.
He totally missed it.
Yeah, I know. I got the Chippendales part. I was ignoring it.
You dodged it.
I dodged it, dude. You were throwing that dodgeball at my face, and I dodged it.
I'm sorry, what about balls flying in your face?
That's
Keen's high school experience.
I figured we might as well go from sausage to balls flying in the face. And already we're off to a nice juvenile start here on Comic Timing. Both Juan and Danny and myself already gave our quick summaries last time around, so let's turn it over to Brent here. Brent, ask us some questions, boy.
All right, so first thing, I was looking at these pictures on here. Of the size of the con, and that there are a couple of, like, the main show floor, I guess, like, the video from the Newsarama booth made it look huge. Compared to MegaCon, how big was it compared to that hall?
Oh.
So just so I can get a size thing for myself.
I think I could make a fair assessment that you could probably fit two MegaCons into this hall. And, Raph, you could probably, say a yes or no to that since you were also at MegaCon.
Yeah, I'm going to say, well, okay, the Javits Center gave New York Comic Con three of their exhibition halls, and there were, let's see, I think there were like 2,200, there was an aisle 2,200, so let's divide that in half. That's, yeah, and MegaCon had, what, 10 aisles? So yeah, 10, 11 aisles? So yeah, 22 aisles versus 10, 11, yeah, it was double. It was massive.
Yeah, so like I would definitely say that you could fit two of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and also what was similar about MegaCon here was that just like with MegaCon where they had the Artist Alley in the back of the hall and the dealers in the front, that's the same setup they had here at New York Comic Con. There were dealers in the front and then Artist Alley in the back and obviously Podcast Arena in the back and the stage in the back and all that. So it separated the two nicely.
So there wasn't anything upstairs like last time? Last year you guys were saying that the Artist Alley and stuff was like in an upstairs room. There wasn't anything like that this year?
No, not at all. It was all one floor. It was massive. It would take you literally just walking, not looking at anything, walking from one to the other, a good 20 minutes.
Yeah. And all the panels were downstairs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the same as the last couple of years. They had the panels in the basement hall, so all these different rooms were paneled off for panels. And I'd say, about how big was the biggest hall they had there, Juan? What was it, like?
For panels?
Yeah, it was like what, three rooms combined or something?
Yeah, it was three. It was the two rooms that they used for both DC Nation panels, and the one that they used for the Stan Lee panel last year. So it was about three good sized rooms put together. In fact, it made it actually difficult to hear anything if you were on one side or the other. You had to be like either in the middle and towards the front, or have really good hearing because it made it really difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I bumped into Buzz on Friday, And he actually told me that San Diego, 14 years ago, was the same size as New York Comic Con in its third year. So 14 years ago, I guess San Diego was in its, like, 10th year?
Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive how quickly New York Comic Con is growing.
Well, that's also the difference between San Diego and New York right there. You know,
I mean,
almost everybody goes to, you know, I mean, it's the entire East Coast usually ends up at New York, while San Diego,
yeah,
I'd say it's a little more of a localized experience.
Right.
Right.
Well, you know what? It's exponential, the growth. And they've already booked the same hall for next year. So right now it looks like it's staying pretty constant. I don't know if they're going to add some more exhibitor booths or make some more floor space or shorten up some floor space for the stage and for the autograph area, because it was a really sizable area. Like Raf said, it takes you a good 20 minutes to walk,
yeah,
with no one there. With people there, you know, in professional hours, it takes you about 25 minutes. With the regular crowd, it takes you a good 30 to 45 minutes to just walk from one aisle to the other sometimes, because, you know, there's just this massive amount of people, and the aisles were much wider than normal, Brent. And you still had some backflow.
Yeah, and we told you about, like, how freezing cold it was last year, and the exits were a little annoying last year. We told you all about that last year, right?
You said there was only one entrance last year and stuff. Was there anything like that this year?
No.
Any, like, traffic jam trying to get in?
Definitely not. Well,
The best part about this year was, one, they had the line inside, which was a huge improvement. they had the line a lot more organized. They, like, had, like, an entire section about, like, say, two-thirds of the entire main room size, mm-hmm, just sectioned off just for the line.
Yeah.
I'm the only one here who stood on line. And that moved a lot faster than you would have thought it would have.
Yeah.
Like, they kept that line moving, and, like I said before, you weren't outside, which is extremely important, especially on Friday, because wasn't it nearly 80 degrees on Friday?
It was pretty damn close.
Something crazy.
Yeah, which is a major,
like,
change from it being, like, 20 degrees last year.
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, it would have been crazy. All those people outside, it would have been chaos.
Yes, and imagine the smell.
But when they moved the line inside, it moved a lot very quickly. Like, that was actually probably faster than moving around at the convention.
Well, what they had at their disposal was that on Friday, I think if memory serves me right, it was on Friday that there was a job fair at the Javits. And that was only there on Friday. So then that entire hall was absolutely empty, which allowed them to utilize that for the waiting area.
Well, actually, no, that was a separate area.
Oh, it was? Oh, wow.
They had the job fair in a completely separate area because the line was the same place.
Okay. All right. Then.
All days.
Yeah. Okay, well, then I take that back. Well, they were just lucky, period, to have an empty hall like that.
Yeah, it was gigantic. It was maybe two-thirds of the space you had for the main hall.
Mm-hmm.
They planned for a huge line.
Also, I think that waiting area was where the entire New York Comic Con, like, dealers area took place last year.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that that's where that was. And then where those escalators were, that's where the podcast arena and the artist alley and the gaming area was. And they avoided that this year by having it all on one floor, because you would not believe how much of a pain in the ass it is to have one elevator going up. And, like, one escalator going up and four escalators going down, and having to wait online, even if you're a dealer, having to wait online with the rest of the crowd just to get back upstairs. That was a major hassle, and they avoided that this year.
Plus, we didn't have to run up the escalators the opposite way.
Yes, yes. And
that was fun,
and
though.
I couldn't get stuck. Because unlike you guys, I'm fat, and it takes a lot more effort to go up a down escalator.
But it's very fun to watch.
No, it's not. Not for the fat kid.
I pretend it's not fun to watch.
You'll be right there laughing.
I used to be a fat kid, so I
cover my mouth as I snicker.
I'm more polite like that.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, next question.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
Okay, so one thing I've never experienced, podcast arena. Who won?
I don't know, but I think everyone was like sharing the same people. It was like a giant podcast orgy.
Yeah, I saw that. It looked like Gail Simone was the podcast arena charlatans, not scapegoat, you know, mascot. Looked like she was everywhere.
Yeah,
Sar with Shauna Jim.
You know what?
That was great ways to describe her. If we want to ever talk to her again,
yeah, great. Thanks, man.
You guys,
thanks a lot.
You want a charlatan,
like,
scapegoat?
Gail Simone was the mascot. Think... Okay, let's just go with the mascot. Okay,
no,
you guys
no,
be like, hey, Shauna Jim, are you guys done with her yet? Send her over here when you're done. Was it like that? Or, I mean, how'd that work?
No, she just
Let me tell you something. Gail Simone is the one creator out there who is truly looking to legitimize podcasting as a form of journalism.
Yep.
Including making Sean and Jim go and moderate their panel and making the rounds in the podcast arena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God bless the woman. She's a saint, and she is so awesome to talk to.
Yeah.
You just want to hug her, honestly.
Yeah, although I didn't get the time to talk to her when she was at the arena, I had an opportunity to talk to her for a bit after Sean and Jim's panel, because we were all heading out at the same time, and what a sweetheart. I mean, she is just like a ball of happiness.
She's such an awesome person.
Yeah, and her husband as well. Gentlemen.
Oh, man, that's just so awesome.
Yeah. So I mean like when I was talking to her, I was like, I don't know if you remember me from last year. We talked for a little bit when you were over at Around Comics Table. Ian from Comic Timing, she's, "Oh yeah, I remember you. How you doing?" You know, and then we had a bit of a conversation there, and I asked her if it was okay that I recorded her. She's like, "Well, I didn't curse, did I?" I'm like, "No, not nearly as much as Dan DiDio in the reboot panel." And then she was like, "Okay, well, that's fine." Okay, I didn't put it that way, but I just said, "No, don't worry about it. You were fine." And she's like, "Okay, well then, good." And now Sean and Jim are going to use that audio for probably by the time this episode's out, you'll be hearing that full Gail Simone panel on Raging Bullets. And it turned out great. And you would not believe how psyched Sean and Jim were to be able to have that opportunity. I mean, they were nervous like nobody's business, but at the same time, they read like everything she has ever done to prepare for that panel. And they did a great job of it.
And so it was a surprise to me to hear about that on the forums and stuff. I was like, wow, that sounds like awesome. Like awesome. Sounds like awesome. You know, so hey. Yeah.
I wasn't there.
So like when Raph hits a big like 30 years from now, or 40 or 50, when he's like 80 or 90, right?
He says Jeff, not Jeff Johns.
Yes.
Like
what about Jeff Johns? Aside from Jeff Johns being an amazing person, I love Jeff Johns.
Yeah, what about Jeff Johns? Jeff Johns is an awesome person. My favorite comic books are by Jeff Johns. Jeff Johns as a person is just great.
That the origin of that whole Jeff Johns thing is that he has a very Kryptonian name. If you think about it, instead of like Kal-El, it's Jeff Johns. Jeff Johns, son of John Jeff.
Well, let's explain the whole Jeff Johns thing, though, because that was one of the best parts of the DC Nation panel.
I'll tackle it. Oh, wait, I wasn't there.
There.
I was watching tables. I was manning tables for our sakes.
All right, so I'll explain it. Jeff's up there. And I almost said Jeff Johns. Jeff is up there. And, you know, they're asking the typical questions that they ask at a DC Nation panel. You know, like, oh, Jeff Johns, I love your work. Jeff Johns this, Jeff Johns that. Until eventually he turns to, you know, the crowd and he goes, you know, why is it I'm always Jeff Johns? You know, why doesn't everybody ever actually use Jeff? You know, my first name? Everybody always calls me by the full name. And the next person who comes up says, yeah, Jeff Johns, I love your work on Green Lantern. You know, and it actually takes this
we
one...
We all start cracking up.
Okay, yeah, we all start
cracking
up. It's
like, hello, John Winnick.
Yeah, I know. It's like, do you imagine going up to, say, like... Well, okay, I actually said Gail Simone when I went up to Gail Simone the first time, but then I said Gail afterwards because, you know, once you're familiar with somebody, you can say that. But, What I loved the most was that the kid, this one kid who is a fan of Raging Bullets, and you know, they talk to him for a while, goes up to the mic and says, in the best voice I've ever heard a kid use, "Hello, Jeff."
And Brent is left out in the cold. Do you feel that breeze, Brent?
Yeah. I think-
then of course, after the kid, they go back to going, "Jeff Johns."
We love you, living
like, the kid is the only
Jeff
person
Jones.
Who managed to call him Jeff.
Yeah. Out of the entire group. It takes a kid to have the balls to call somebody just by their first name.
And it takes a kid to actually follow the rule of asking a question and not
making
a statement.
Oh, yeah, he was the only person.
Because honestly, people, learn to, when they say format the mic for a question.
I have two questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's not two part questions. It's not three, but one.
Oh, well, we have plenty of those at MegaCon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, Danny and I walked out of the Final Crisis panel. Because
that was terrible.
It was ridiculous. Everybody was going up and just like having sex with Grant Morrison.
It's a weird experience unto itself.
Yeah, just like
having a coyote watch you.
I can understand because he was wearing like the snazziest suit ever. He was wearing like this red pinstripe suit. But still, okay, if I'm going to take the time to get up and get online, I have to form an intelligent question before I got up there.
Yeah, everybody was like, the first person who comes up is, well, first off, Grant, I just want to thank you because your work on Animal Man led me to become like a nature preserve guy, and I just want to thank you for that because if not for you, I wouldn't have fallen in love with animals.
He was like tearing up though. You're forgetting that the key to his voice is actually like tearing up while you do it.
Yeah. So I
want you to know.
Well, you know, you keep going on with the Final Crisis panel bashing, but I got a great Geoff Johns hunting story for Friday.
Jeff, just say Jeff, goddamn.
Yes. Oh, no.
For the love of God, his name is Jeff.
Say Jeff.
I'm going to call him Mr. Jones.
Okay, say cool. Jeffy. Say cool.
Jefferson.
Cool.
Say whip.
Whip.
Say cool whip.
Whip. Cool.
You're eating hair.
Oh, if you want to hear stuff funny, you should get my roommate to say water and berry.
I'll tell you real quick then. I was hunting for him. Like, I just wanted to meet him and say hi to him because he's my number two guy on my writer's list.
Outside of his in a garbage can with two holes in
somebody's
it looking at
watching
Jeff.
You.
When it finally gets to like 8 p.m. or no, not 8 p.m., like 6, 7 p.m., I'm around there, and I had already talked to Dale Gershom, and he signed my JSA. I'm like, yeah, I'm still waiting for Jeff. And then I'm like, I'm about to leave. I actually ran into Kevin Kahn, and then I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to try again later. Yeah, I turn around, and Jeff sits down. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like, I run up to him, and Ian Sattler is like right there next to him. And this is so cool. I'm like, hey, Ian, what's up? And then Ian turns over to Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey. What's doing? I'm sorry.
This is the problem using first names sometimes. So Ian Sadler goes over to Jeff. He's like, yeah, this guy works at Midtown Comics. He turns, looks up, and he goes, hey, what's up? And I'm like, I do my guts. I'm like, Jeff, I did use his first name. I'm like, Jeff, I love your work. You know, you've done some of my favorite books ever. And it was like,
did he turn into a Mark Wade? And he was like, come back to the last.
No, he didn't. There was no one else. But
there was no one to save him.
Yeah. I mean, Ian Sattler was sitting there, but he already said this guy works at Midtown Comics. I'm pretty sure
he called you a loser.
He works at
Midtown. I know this guy. He works at Midtown. Hey, how are you?
I say hi to him and Didio every week. Name dropping. All right, so
every week. Me.
Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you, Raph. How you doing?
Actually, I was at the DC booth. I see Dan. I go, hey, Dan, what's up? And he comes up running up to me and just like shakes my hand, like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like,
just wait until I start talking about that reboot panel, man. You're gonna have an entirely different side of Dan Didio. But
all right, cool. So let's get on to it. That's my Geoff Johns story. Okay. I love you, Jeff, if you're listening. We're sorry, Mr. Johns.
Tell that story because it's proved that not all creators are scared of him, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Only Mark Waid is scared of him. But we're sorry, Mr.
So, Ian, I want to hear about this reboot panel.
Okay. Well, one more thing about the DC Nation panel, and this is a negative for somebody using a first name, is that whenever Dan Didio would, you know, turn to Ian Sattler and go, so Ian, what's the deal? I would then turn to Juan and go, well, you know, it's a funny story.
Okay. Wait. Go back to that final Crisis panel. You guys, what was so bad about it that you got up and left?
Nobody was asking questions about Final Crisis. They were basically just thanking Grant for his work and all that. But they had a Grant Morrison panel specifically for this, like a day ago, and they weren't actually talking about it. So we went to Marvel Comics Prize or No Prize instead.
Yeah. The only questions that were really being asked at all were questions that, like, it was like, you know, they're not going to answer that.
Right. It's like, is the Flash going to die?
It's like, who's going to kill this person and how and in what issue? By the way, Grant, I love you.
That's ridiculous. I mean, I do love Grant Morrison, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that was okay, because when we went to the prize and no prize, Brubaker was there.
Yeah. Oh, Danny.
And that was fun.
Okay, let's explain to everybody, and again, we'll get to the reboot. Don't worry about it. We're getting there. But this needs to be told first, and I think Danny will do a better job of telling it than me. Tell them about the guy who got pwned.
Oh, Lord, that ass. Okay. So essentially, it's up to this. Wasn't there already a big list of prizes when he got up there?
Yeah, there were like four or five prizes already in it.
Like really, like nice, impressive sketches and stuff like that. And he gets up there all cocky, and you know, with each question, he's like, "Well, I believe that was first mentioned in, you know, issue, you know, whatever and whatever, and was that person was originally called this, but now they're referred to as this."
In issue number seven, I believe his hair was blue, but it later changed to red in the next issue, and it was explained to be a coloring mistake.
Yeah, like seriously, he actually did sound like the guy from The Simpsons, and usually I'm like, oh, I love that guy on The Simpsons, but I've never actually met someone who sounds exactly like that until this guy. Like, I've never wanted someone to answer a question incorrectly in my life, like, as badly as I wanted this guy to. So, of course, this guy, like, I think it's like an acronym category.
Yeah.
And he was clearly showing off, because otherwise, why the hell would you pick the category where it's like, what does this acronym stand for?
Yeah, and he got the sword question.
Yeah, and he misses it by, like, one word. After being all, well, you know, this offshoot of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, was da-da-da-da-da. And then
it was all in the reaction, because remember how Brevoort was. After he gives the answer, Brevoort turns to him and goes, well, that was almost right.
And we all go, oh, because everyone was waiting for him to screw himself over. And then wasn't there like a kid who got the answer?
The kid got it, but most importantly, as he's leaving, like the spoiled human being that this guy probably is, as he's walking away, he goes, it's okay, I'll be back.
Wait, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
After you guys finish the story, you guys got to tell the story of how Dandy Dio chewed out this ass wipe.
Ooh.
For like a good like 3 minutes.
Well, you know what, Juan, you could probably do that better than us, Ben. You can probably tell that story. But it was just hilarious watching this one guy that you could tell was there just to mop the floor with everybody. Get his
Yeah, he just thought he was going to sit there and load up on every prize. But the thing is, instead of focusing on answering the questions correctly, he was focusing on showing how much he knew more about comics than everyone else in the room. Mm-hmm.
And that just makes you lose
money. And then it's like, no, you're not answering the question. You're answering everything but the question.
Right. Yeah, so.
And now the guy's going to be up there looking for the hardest question that he can possibly ask you so that you can lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one wants you to walk home with anything.
Douche.
But that was all right, because it was fun watching him fail miserably.
Yes, indeed. But anyway, Juan, on to the burn.
Oh, man. It was DC Nation, right, Friday night. And typically, Daddy Dio flashes the board. Talks about how Countdown leads to Final Crisis. So this dude gets online as soon as he opens the line to questioning. And he goes ahead and he goes, well, Dan, well, how come Final Crisis sucked? And you guys have been putting out some bad books and Aquaman is shitty and blah, blah, blah. And Dan goes, you know what? It's a new year. Get over it. Right. Just next question. And Dan tries to be passive about it. And then, you know, it must have like struck Dan like right in the ball sack. He goes, Wait a minute. Come back. You stand right there. Turn around. Listen, we've made some mistakes, and he chews this guy out in front of everyone. I'm talking like a good 3 minutes saying, we've made mistakes. Countdown sucks. We're moving on to something new. We're giving you good products. We're putting out good books. We're canceling bad books. And we're going to make sure that every book that you read is the best book. And this guy turns like fucking red. I'm talking like
deep fire. And then above that, and then over that, you know, he's basically like, yeah, there were some problems with that. Put everyone up here, work their asses off to bring those books to you. So, there's going to be some issues, but we're not going to do that again. So.
Yeah. So after the panel's over, which is half an hour later, I turn around, my man is still red. I'm talking still red, like a fucking baked lobster.
He's I like that. Lobster.
I love lobster, but not after looking at this fat ass, right? Sitting there, right, knowing that he probably goes home and masturbates constantly to Wonder Woman's bustier, right? Getting up there, right,
Are
asking
you speaking
questions.
From experience there?
You know what? No, no, not recently. But what I'm saying is, you know, if you're gonna go to a panel, ask questions with some substance.
Right.
Ask questions that would expand upon one, what they're talking about, and two, about something you want to know about. Don't go and wait almost half a year and build up this anger just to get up and do it, because you never know. Some guy might just bite your head off, and then the deal did it. And I applaud him for it.
It's one thing having a critique and being like, you know, I was wondering why you guys, you know, chose to do this instead of something else. It's another thing he went up there and was like, why did this suck?
So now at two cons in a row, and, you know, Brent knows the other time, but two cons in a row, I have now experienced the editor-in-chief of one of the biggest companies. Last time it was Marvel, this time it's DC.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroy a jackass.
Well, you know what? These guys are asking for
go
it. I'll tell you why. If you don't like something, fine, drop it. You know? That's what I did. Listen, I'm a fan of Shadow Pact. I'm going to write it out. But honestly, I came very close to dropping it. And then I saw there was like a couple more issues left. Mm-hmm. So I'll just finish off the run.
Yeah.
But there was books like X-Men. I dropped it. I just can't take it. It's painful to read.
And let's pour 40 out for All New Adam.
Oh, yeah, for my boy, All New Adam. I buy him religiously. And you know what? They made a choice, and they stuck with it for almost 2 years. And then they said, all right, you know, it's not working. And they did it.
Yeah.
Racist. But, you know,
also, it's entirely difficult if you're talking to a panel, you know, and asking a question. And if you say, if you're in a one-on-one, you know, interview or discussion, you can say, well, why did you do this?
Right, right.
Yeah, they put out comics for the fans to read, but this guy is confusing the fans with just him.
Yeah.
You know?
But this happens at every single convention, and it kind of makes us look bad.
It does.
Yeah.
Kind of. It makes us look like exactly like comic book guy.
I know. And we're not all like
that. And then there's people like me. You know, I do what I can when I can.
You know, and then there's some people who actually talk to other people, you know, and then realize, wait, this one comic wasn't just printed just for me. Like, other people are reading this crap, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
No, it's
true. It's true. You know that issue of Countdown you bought, Raph? I bought it, too.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, seriously. You know, we should totally go to a Yankee game together or something like that. I feel like I've connected with you. All right, but anyway, finally, I get to the reboot story here. So, Brent, you know what Jan DiDio is pretty much like at this point. You know, I mean, like, he's got this persona he puts on all the DC, you know, things. It's, you know, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, Mr. Everything Super, and he got a nice jovial personality, right?
Yeah.
Well, obviously he needs to be like that because he's an editor-in-chief. Well, little do a lot of people know, Jan DiDio actually used to run the entire production over at ABC's kids department. So that whole Saturday morning block of ABC kids programming was run by Dan DiDio back in the day. He then moved on after that was done to being the story editor for Reboot, because that was one of the shows that was on ABC Kids at the time. When Disney bought ABC Kids and shut it down, he moved on to Reboot for YTV. So he's been with them ever since the beginning, really. And he was with them with the later seasons that ended up on Cartoon Network and so on and so forth. So they had a Reboot panel in one of the smallest panel rooms, the same room they had Gail Simone in. I'll bitch about that later on. But anyway, he sits down and, you know, things are going normal a little bit at first until the stories start being broken out. So Dan turns to the panel and goes, there's no way I'm going to be able to get through any of these stories without cursing my head off. So do you mind? And everybody in the panel is just like, no, we don't care. Come on, curse your heart's content. So he's like, fuck yeah. So anyway.
Oh, yes.
So he tells one story, and one of the most brilliant stories I've heard. First off, there was an episode of Reboot, which was filled with, like, I guess a lot of like military references and stuff like that. And standards and practices went nuts over it. They went absolutely insane. So he tells this story how, as opposed to actually making any of the changes because they felt that it would ruin the show, they wrote a letter to standards and practices and sent the episode back to them. And the letter said, here is the episode. We made all the changes just for you. And they get it back, and there's absolutely no problems with the episode. Did they change anything with the episode? No.
Yeah.
So just by saying the words, we did it just for you, they absolutely got it by standards and practices, because standards and practices have their heads up their ass in the first place.
Maybe that's what they should do for the fanboys.
Yeah. Number two, there was a character in Reboot, forget which one, that was named after a strip club in Vancouver.
Andrea. Wasn't it Andrea?
No. Andrea was modeled by a stripper. This was a specific.
Right.
Character that was named after a strip club, and he asked the audience like, can you guess what this character was named after? And then one of them screams, "Strip club in Vancouver!" And he's like, "Booyah, you got it." But the Andrea story is even better, because in order to get Andrea, one of the characters in Reboot, they went to a stripper at the strip joint and asked her to come on in to model it. And, they had her put on the suit and all that, got the motion capture going, and she was more than happy to do it. And, of course, the DO turns to the other guy on the panel and goes, "So do you still have those pictures?" He's like, "Yep, I ain't ever getting rid of them." It was wonderful seeing another side of Dan DiDio, you know, as opposed to just being like the constant salesman, seeing like what he's done in his past, really, and how it made him the person that he is today. And yeah, he's bitter about standards and practices. You know, he's bitter about what happened with the Reboot, but he's allowed to be. And it was like seeing a totally different side to a guy you would have never saw at a DC panel. So there's that panel. It was like my favorite panel of the con, no question.
Well, any panel would be better than the Geek Love panel.
Oh, did that joint suck?
Cher.
I was in there for maybe about less than 10 minutes before I said, I can't stand this panel anymore, and I have to leave because it's one, it was part PowerPoint.
Okay.
Which was weird. And two, it was mostly just them standing up there saying, no, look, this is a relationship I've had, and it was functional. And little does this woman know that if you have a relationship with a guy who loves Lord of the Rings so much that all his figurines are, like, staring down at you as you're in his bed, he's probably not in love with you, but Legolas, and it's not actually as functional a relationship as you think it is.
Oh, that's harsh. Ouch.
Wow.
Wow.
Ow.
I'm kind of hurting inside a little bit right now.
Yeah.
I just got this pang in my heart, and I'm not sure where it came from.
I am stuck.
Now, imagine being a girl going over to your boyfriend's house and seeing a bunch of Legolas and Aragorn figures staring down at you.
And here I am in my small-ass Harry Potter room sitting at my computer desk where there's nothing but, like, Heroclix and, like, anime figures right next to my bed.
But no, it's a sorted show, so that's okay.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
Lord of the Rings is specifically what I'm referring to.
Okay.
At least in my personal experience, I've met very few people who collect all those figures and are not specifically in love with Legolas. Male or female.
Yeah. Well, anyway, one of the figures that I added to my collection this weekend, No. It wasn't Legolas, damn you. Go to hell.
It was the con exclusive Legolas with the golden bow.
Oh, he's so hot.
At Midtown, we have our Orlando Bloom magnet for no reason. We're selling it, and one of the guys at work just moved all the other magnets, so Orlando Bloom has his own, like, side of the magnet thing. And he's just got this, like, half grin, sort of like, I don't want to be here sort of look on it, which makes it even more hilarious. It's like, why are we selling an Orlando Bloom magnet?
Because
he's a he's Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, he's Orlando.
He's Orlando Bloom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he makes the panties fall to the floor.
Anyway, so
let's talk about Costume Chick.
We'll talk about Costume Chick in a second. Let's go through some of the shit that we bought first. How about that? All right. All right, before we before we go to that. So Brent knows very well that at the end of the con at MegaCon, I went and bought two Batman Season 1 figures, hoping that at least one of them would be one of the ones that I was looking for. And what happened, Brent?
You only got one that you needed?
I got none of the ones that I needed.
Huh.
Which was even better than that. This time, I find a dude who's selling them. Might have even been the same dude. And I buy two. This time, I actually managed to get Harley Quinn. So now I literally only need one more. That's it. Now all I need is Batman. The second one I got, of course, was another Joker, which I just gave to Jim of Raging Bullets, and he was happy to get it. So then I showed Danny where the place is, and she buys herself some figures, and then Danny gets Batman.
Got Batman?
Yeah.
What duplicates do you have left? We can make an exchange.
I don't have any duplicates left. I've given them all away. Yeah. But I
will. I'll give you the Batman, but you need to give me the Connor Kent Superboy hero clip.
Don't have that. That wasn't me. That was Jim.
That wasn't them.
Yeah, that was Jim.
All right. Shit.
I've got an Azrael. Right.
I've got an Azrael, too.
I got a Darkhawk.
I got a Darkhawk, too.
Shut up. What?
I got a Thor.
I don't have a Thor.
I'll trade you the Batman for the Azrael hero clip.
No.
It's huge.
Don't care.
It's Azrael.
Don't give a shit. Dude. I've got right now. I'm sitting right next to a Azrael season 2 Batman figure, directly next to an Azrael hero click, and that's the way it's going to stay.
Oh, I want an Azrael action.
$10.
No.
Yeah. Well, my Batman is being cozy with Kalisto and Top Dollar.
Nice. Not
bad. Pro right now because I didn't set up my Buffy's and my Batgirl yet. So.
Yeah. Well.
My shelf looks confusing.
I'm just going to go through the hero clicks I got at the con, and then other people can say whatever the hell they got, because that's really the only thing I bought at the con, other than a couple of issues of Excalibur, Daredevil Volume 2, which was the David Mack Daredevil, because I didn't actually own that yet, and I got... there was one other thing that I bought, and I can't... oh, yeah, I got the con-exclusive glass, so I got the Iron Man glass that they were selling at New York Comic Con. Was there anything else other than Harley Quinn? No, that might have been it, but anyway, I got about 10 hero clicks, and they're all staring at me right now, so they're easy to find. I got an old school Tim Drake Robin, and he's like balancing himself on like a, I don't know, it must be like a wall or something like that. And then I got a new school Tim Drake Robin, which is like his black cape covering the covering himself, which looked pretty nice. I got a Darkseid, the Question. I got the full set of Booster Golds, I guess, because I got Booster Gold, Supernova, and Blue Beetle. I got Darkhawk, Azrael, let's see who else, Piper and Trickster, Kyle Rayner in his new outfit, Awesome Andy, which is like the score of the con.
That was cool.
But even better than Awesome Andy, I got myself Lockjaw.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Lockjaw is like a two, you know, like one of those like extra long figures, and it's just Lockjaw, the dog, and it's fun. Sage from X-Men and Starfire. And those are the ones that I picked up, and that's really all I bought at the con. So, yeah, what did other people get at the con? Juan?
I got a giant Sephiroth, which was awesome because he's fully posable and just awesome because he's Sephiroth. I got a bunch of hero clicks, including me finishing my Justice League collection, so annoying my boss at work.
Cool.
I did my Teen Titans collection, and I also did my classic Teen Titans collection. So all in all, it was very productive and very awesome, and I appreciate it. I also got about 6 or 7 issues of Robin that I was missing to complete my run. I'm just that much closer to it.
Nice, nice. So, awesome. Oh, and I forgot, I also got an Atlas Hero Clicks. Atlas from Thunderbolts, from the original Thunderbolts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember him.
I only got it because it's very big compared to the other Heroclix, because Atlas is very big. All right, Danny, what'd you score?
Uh-huh.
For me, it was mostly, I spent most of my money on stuff from David Mack, actually. Got a couple of autographed prints. I have autographed a copy of Circle of Blood, a Kemi sketch done. I didn't really buy comics. I won like a pile of them, which was nice. And what else did I get? Oh, got myself the Batman, the season 1 thing. I got my sister Catwoman season one, and got myself two throwing knives because I'm weird. And
No. Come on. Put it right. You want to throw them at Juan.
That was the wrong sound to make that reaction. I'm not quite sure what that meant, but it made me uncomfortable. And
that was on purpose. That was going through a whole thing of emotions there, like from nervousness to losing my co-host to that. You know, it's funny, and then
that was nervousness. That was not at all what came across.
Anyway.
And then Lauren got me a couple of Zot pins, which were pretty awesome. And I also got that little Michael Jackson footbook, which was pretty cool. Just Michael Jackson through the decades.
So you get to, oh yeah, you know, I think I know that guy. Yeah, showing the different stages of Jackson.
Yeah, yep. It's pretty awesome. I've been showing it around.
Nice. All right, Brent hasn't asked a question in a while, so let's actually let him ask something.
Oh, what was the podcaster's dinner like on Saturday night?
Ah, there you go. Well, the podcaster's dinner was filled with podcasters and pizza, and there was also a bunch of soda. It was self-replenishing, so the minute that your soda was done, a man who worked there would come up to your soda, and all of a sudden you would have more soda, and that was very nice of them.
It was almost there was a waiter.
Yeah. Yeah, it was almost as if waiters existed. There was also a bunch of pizza and shit and calzones and stuff and
shit.
Let's not focus on this on the food. Let's focus on the fun. The fixer, I hung out with him for a while and his crew, and we talked Buffy for like a half an hour. And
I had my weekly Buffy conversation there.
Yeah, well, you know, now that I'm on season two, I got to start swooning over the show as well, and that's just what happened. And there were a bunch of other things there. There were raffles and stuff. That's where I won my beer and my sausage. And, you know, I enjoy looking at
sausage
my sausage
in a can.
Yeah, I love looking at my sausage and waving at it. And, yeah, other than that, it was just a lot of fun and good times. Any moments that you can point out, Danny or Juan or Raf?
I won New Frontier.
I won the Golden Age with the Golden Cover.
Ooh. Well, Raf, which New Frontier did you win?
The trade paperbacks, and that capped off a night of enormous winning for me.
Yeah, because you had every single raffle ticket.
I did.
give us a quick scope of everything you actually won.
Really? You want me? Okay, I've got an original comic book page. I've got the Iron Man Nerf Blaster. I've got a bunch of retailer incentive covers for various DC comics. I've got all three issues of Johnny Hero. I've got volume 6 and 7 of Naruto. I've got a whole bunch of more trades that I'm looking at right now. That's the stack is so big and facing the other way with the spine.
You want a
nice
Steve
lady.
Root art?
I want a Steve Root art book, which is so good. It's like a pie. It really is like the Harry Osborn pie.
Well, great. We got to pull cord phrase number 5 on Raph's card.
Yes.
It's like
wait. What have I missed? And on that note,
yeah, okay, that's the other one. Your parents are still dead, and fuck you all.
No, my parents are alive.
Both of my dad's dead.
Yes, but I believe you were lying. So any other big scores you got this weekend?
Yeah, Raph, no.
That's what she said.
Speaking of big potential scores, Austin Girl.
Does
anybody else have any other moments about the dinner that they want to share or anything?
Me walking around with a pitcher of water and just hobnobbing. It was really cool to just say hi to everyone. And like,
Raph,
just
that wasn't
so
water.
Many people.
That was absinthe.
Living. I want drunk. Okay, Danny.
Bill Cosby.
Gerald Plin. So good.
The pudding. And the kid saying the thing with the pudding.
And the lady.
All right, all right. Let me pull this train over.
Thank you. Yeah. So,
just go ahead and talk about the highlight of my weekend.
Go ahead.
Was the wonderful costume girl? I don't even know what she came over with an interview that we had to do, and as I'm conducting the interview, I noticed she takes Raph's Hero Clicks and makes them have sex.
next to Ian. Ian's table.
Yeah,
favorite,
and especially Cyborg Superman humping Thor.
Ooh.
And Hawkman in the crotch of Thor as well. Brent, it was awesome.
Well, they were envious of Wolverine and Cyclops having sex.
Yes, yes, but you know what? I had a massive orgy. You just had a gay couple.
That's going to be a sound clip for episodes and episodes to come right there.
Well, you listen to Tom Time and you'll get this.
I had a massive orgy. You just had a gay couple.
Listen to Comic Timing. Have an orgy or a gay couple, that's up to you.
No, I noticed Raph was gone and she just kept playing with her with his clicks. So I'm like, hey, you know, let me just try conversation, right? So I keep her coming over to keep playing with the hero clicks. But on Friday, I don't have any of Raph's hero clicks. So I have to purchase my own, but the guy wasn't there. So I bring Plastic Man and Yuyasha, right? And she goes, oh, you didn't bring them. I'm like, yeah, but you could play with these. So she makes Inuyasha teabag Plastic Man, and there's photos on Flickr, Brent. You know, right now there's photos on Flickr of Inuyasha's crotch all over Plastic Man's face. And all of the superhero sex craziness that happened in New York Comic Con 2008.
Oh.
And I purchased some of my own, and I bring them, right? And I specifically make them all chicks, just to see what she will do. Sunday comes, right? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to be leaving early. And I look at Danny, and I'm like, this is my one chance to find geek love. And Danny's my witness. She's not a bad-looking woman at all. We were afraid about what was going to come without the costume. And we were, like, taking bets and everything. Right, Danny?
Yeah, I definitely, we were like, what color hair did she, because the costume completely covered pretty much everything except for, like, her face.
Yeah, you know, it was very weird. She was wearing heels. So Carlito has stolen this beanbag, right? And for some reason on Saturday morning, it was in my booth. So I just passed the buck and threw it into Ian's booth. And nobody ever said anything. I poofed up the beanbag and I said, listen, why don't you come back before leaving and play with my hero clicks?
Okay, all right. That is officially the best geek come online I've ever heard in the existence of the universe.
And then I said, you cannot leave New York Comic Con without first coming over here and play with my hero clicks. Because I enjoy the way you make them have hero click sex.
Hey, baby, why don't you come back to my place and play with my hero clicks?
Hero clicks.
You know, well, at any point in time, is your brain going, am I saying this? Am I really saying this?
Yes, my brain is like, come on, dude. You have so much more skill and tact. And you have a degree, and this is what you're doing. You're asking a girl to play with your hero clicks. So, you know, it gets to you after a while. And Brent, honestly, I couldn't think of anything better to say than come play with my Robin as he goes ahead and messes with
Robin. Donald was your best choice? I would have been like, at least a Thor.
I didn't have a Thor. That was Raph's Thor.
I guess you can't invite her. Hey, come play with Raph's Thor when you're off work.
Ooh.
No,
probably wouldn't work as well.
Hey, baby, you be the Mjolnir to my Thor.
No, Ian, I would never have her. I would never say to a woman, come play with my friend's hero clicks. She could only play with mine.
So, what was this a success you're talking about here? I mean,
success because she came back, and for a second, as the wind blew, and then I noticed it was just the air conditioning unit that was over us. Rayo Speedwagon started playing until Max Glory hit stop, and I look over, and he's like, "What, man? It's like perfect." And I'm like, "All right." And she walks over, and I'm like, "Hey, please come in. Would you like some Gatorade?" Another geeky quote. No one's doing any exercise, and I go, would you like some Gatorade? Right. And sit down in my beanbag chair. Would you like some Gatorade?
Is this when the Peter Gabriel starts playing? Because, you know,
New sledgehammer. Oh. No. But she sits down, right? And I take this nice little picture. And it's a picture that is very close to my heart. And something else. But that's nothing we will discuss here.
Oh, oh, oh.
For those of you out there who didn't understand what he meant, he masturbates frequently to that picture. Thank you.
No, I don't.
I was just going to say I love the irony of me missing geek love in hopes that she was going to come back to the table.
Yes. In fact, I was so afraid that I had missed her that I did the one douchebag thing that every guy does in the movies, and I went out onto the floor to find her.
Oh, God. Now, see, what would have been better? What would have been better is if she would have come to the booth looking for you while that was happening, and then...
Oh,
he came back, like, did she show up? I don't know how many times, Juan, you asked me that.
No. But if it was a movie, she would have came back and not seen you, and then you would have been walking one way, and she would have been walking the other way, and neither one of you would have seen each other.
A montage of REM's Orange Crush.
Yes, yes. Okay, but...
Because I've got my spine, I've got my Orange Crush as she walks by. By the Kutubuch Kaya booth.
Were their phone numbers exchanged?
There was a successful exchange of numerical data.
Hey! We have a winner.
I bought a piece of paper with a giant fist that puts me down as a podcaster.
Now you're going to have to buy a shitload of HeroClix now.
Oh, man. Don't worry. Julian Little's he's a judge, so he says he could get me a case.
Good shit.
Good shit. Good shit. That is geek love, and that is what should have been happening down in that fucking panel. Not any of this PowerPoint shit.
You know, it's funny. If Mandy was on the call right now, Brent, I believe at this point she'd be saying, "You want to know how I know you're gay?"
You asked the man to play with your hero play?
Yes.
How many hit points do you have, Ian?
I don't know. I think I'm knocked out, dude.
No, I think Brent's knocked out. He hasn't said anything like the last half hour.
Now he's just in listening to podcast mode, that's all.
Yeah.
So that's Brad, exactly what it is.
Yeah.
What was the best point of the non-con for you? Did you have a good weekend? You know.
Yeah, how was your weekend, Brent?
It was pretty good. I was supposed to record About Heroes 100 with those guys because I do reviews for them and I've been talking to them for a long time. Mm-hmm. But they didn't call me to do it till about 11:30. And then by that time I was over at my girlfriend's and we had all our buddies over getting drunk. So I was like, fuck it.
Playing with HeroClix?
No, we were playing Guitar Hero. We have better things to do.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hold on. Excuse me. Let me go back here for a minute, okay? Because you actually just made the sentence, I have better things to do. I was playing Guitar Hero.
Not get it. You saw that? I talked about a girl playing with my HeroClix here. And he's here. I got better things to do. Let me play with a toy guitar.
I was playing with my friends, though.
I love you, man.
I love you. Brent, you got to come out to New York City. Even if we got to sell T-shirts to bring you up here, we got to get you here for next year's Comic-Con.
I know.
He'll try his hardest. He'll try his hardest. And if not, it'll be the year after that.
No, honestly, I'm being honest. Let's sell Comic Timing T-shirts.
Yeah.
To get Brent up here.
All right. We'll see if it'll happen. Maybe I'll sell. I'll sell three of them. You know.
$40, Brent. Here's your Greyhound ticket, one way new to Susquehanna, Georgia. That's $40 to get you.
And everybody's remembering now why it's been so long since Juan's been on the show.
Why? Because I suck? Because I have girls play with my hero clicks? In my beanbag chair drinking Gatorade?
Yeah. See, my hero clicks were playing wingman for you there. So you remember, you do my hero clicks a solid favor then.
You
right?
have Thor to thank for this.
Yes, exactly. I have the mighty god of thunder and his giant hammer that helped her get over here.
And did you know that when Thor premiered, it was not even in his own title?
Did you know that you are a loser that does not get laid and I just got a number from a hot chick?
Bow chicka wow wow. All right. Well,
and I didn't even have to wear some axe.
How about we roll from this to what were your favorite costumes at the con? And we'll start with Danny.
Well, I know my favorite was not Naruto because I was sick of seeing fat chicks dressed up as Naruto.
Ooh. Well, wait, one quick thing. Wasn't a Geek Speak Report episode 6 where I tell a wonderful story about a waiter asking me why everybody was dressed like Naruto at Anime Boston?
Wait. Fat chicks dressed as Naruto? Why was Juan doing that?
About a chick or fat, and might I remind you, chick play with hero clicks.
That's going to be his response to everything. Continue, Danny.
Well, I have to say his costume girl had a pretty awesome costume. There was a hot Zatanna.
Oh, yes.
I saw her on the way out. That was impressive.
It was.
Because I saw some very unattractive Zatannas. There's even a weight requirement when you dress up as a character with no pants.
No right. pants.
I really think there should be.
No pants. No pants.
Me, no I pants. I wear no pants.
No
it
pants.
Leave it at you.
Well, I'm not sure whether
now,
or not...
Thanks, Juan. Now I have an image of you dressed up as a Tana in my head. Thank you. I'll never sleep again.
Pantalones.
You know what? Fishnets are good. They create a balls.
Sin pantalones.
What the fuck is wrong with you people? But there was a female dressed in fishnets with a Green Lantern outfit. And I'm not sure whether or not she was dressed as Black Canary or Zatanna as Green Lantern. But that was a really, really cool costume.
With the green and the domino mask, brown hair, pulled back in a ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
Gloves. Yeah, I got a picture of that on my Flickr.
Nice.
Apparently, I've reached my maximum upload for Flickr in just 2 uploads.
I got a premium account just for that exact reason.
Yeah, I'm not paying. Because I'm Puerto Rican and I'm Steve. I'm not paying. I'd rather wait 10 days.
No. He's genetically not allowed to pay. It's in his blood.
Yes.
He can't even hit the button to pay. That's what it is.
No.
PayPal buttons in fact, do not respond to him because he is Puerto Rican. I liked also the two girls that were dressed up as Bizarro Supergirl and Bizarro Batgirl.
Oh, I missed that. I
missed that too.
Yeah. I believe their exact names were Bizarra and Batzara, if I remember correctly. For, Bizarro and Batzara.
Did you take a picture of them?
I didn't take a picture with them. There are pictures online of them. I know that. Our buddy Ziggo was dressed as a pretty decent Jason Todd.
Yeah, that was cool.
Even that's quite flex.
Mm-hmm. And he asked why he doesn't have a title.
But he is Batman.
Yes, or is Nightwing Batman. Ba-ba-boom. Or is Bruce Wayne Batman.
Jason Todd's parents are dead.
Well, good night, everybody.
Try to feel.
And let's see. There were a few others, if memory serves me right, that were actually pretty good. The couple that was dressed up as Dr. Girlfriend and the Monarch.
Oh,
I want my
cake
butterfly.
Yeah, and also I gotta give a shout out to the people that dressed up as the players from the Super Tennis RPG.
Oh yeah, I'm the grand champion. You know that?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I learned how to play.
Yay!
Did you guys see Mr. T?
No, I didn't. Fool.
Oh, yes, I was awesome. Online with Mr. T. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, was it the real Mr. T or was it just somebody dressed as him?
No, it was someone dressed to the T.
Oh,
that was so bad, and it made even worse by the fact that I did not mean to do that.
You're dressed to the T, fool.
He would get into character too, and he would like grunt and stuff, and be like, "I'm pitiful. Try to take pictures of me.
Drink your drugs. Eat your milk."
It was good.
Standing online, you saw the biggest concentration of the most ridiculous outfits.
Hmm.
Definitely. Like, I was surrounded by, this goth punk anarchy dress group, and one of them had a stroller with a baby.
Oh, yeah?
And this confused me, because the baby was dressed perfectly normally. But it's like full, St. Mark's Place, goth wear on everyone else.
Right.
The person who I assumed was the mother had, her head half shaved.
Wait, only half? Only half.
Yeah, only half.
Okay.
You have half your hair.
And it's the little baby in the stroller that she's pushing around the Comic-Con. As I hear another one of their friends, who's dressed up as Naruto, of course, goes, nice. No, I can't because it's in, you know, freaking Japanese, as if the animes are at fault for being in Japanese.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What was best was the black guy dressed up as Naruto with orange hair.
Oh, snap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. There was something a lot better than that. What about the guy who dressed up in full green makeup as the Hulk? Dyed green hair, entirely green, and he was fat, too.
Yeah.
and let's see, there are a couple of really good ones also that I'm trying to think of right now off the top of my head, and I just...
Oh, the Squaresoft dance scene that was like it was like a bunch of, like, these girls couldn't have been more than 15, really.
Yeah.
And all of them are just the characters from Kingdom Hearts, and they were practicing some sort of dance right by the podcasting area.
Was it the Haruhi Suzumiya dance, or was it just like some other like Squaresoft dance? Because most anime fans end up dancing Haruhi Suzumiya's.
It was like Xander Kid Ruins means dyslexia.
Okay.
It was really complete retardation. Yeah. There was no other explanation for it.
Oh, and just to wrap up what I was saying, Zombie Wolverine was kick ass. There were a bunch of really good Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy's for the contest, and the Emma Frost and the Black Cat were brilliant.
People told me about the Emma Frost. I didn't even get to see her.
Yeah, she was really good. Really,
you know who was that good though?
Who?
There's a Leafu that was pretty bad.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the same one from last year.
Oh, and there was a really good Nightwing on the four. There was one really bad one, and then one really good one to like offset it.
The prepubescent Nightwing that asked a question during DC Nation?
Yeah.
No, was it DC Nation? No, it wasn't DC Nation. It was during the Final Crisis one.
It must have been Final Crisis, yeah. Didn't he ask if, are you going to kill me or something?
Yeah, something like that. And he had just bought a fresh set of nunchucks.
Nice.
Yeah, Spano actually had that Nightwing smack me in the head with his baton. I don't know what Spano, so no surprise there.
No,
so there's only a couple of things left. Let's talk about who you got guesses from and who you got autographs from. Raph, you go first because I'm sure your list is the longest.
Okay. Well, actually, with my sketches, I didn't pick up two of them. I don't know if they're done or not. The first sketch I did get was from Jamal Igel, which was an awesome Superman punching out Hawkman. And it says Thanagar sucks because, you know, Sean was coming in and I wanted to get something for, you know, just thinking about Sean. Mike Norton, actually, no, wait, let me do Julian Lytle. Julian Lytle actually supposed to give me a Hulk punching out, no, wait, Superman punching out World War Hulk with the armor on and everything, which I can't wait for. I'm going to have to contact him to pick it up. I also got from Andrew Charpar a great Dark Hawk and Asriel. And the last one is my favorite. This is from Mike Norton. I don't know if he's actually done with it or anything, but I asked him to do Superman punching me out.
Oh.
So I am truly waiting that one. I want to have my tooth knocked out by the Man of Steel. And autographs, God. I just got the illegal show.
You know how many years I've been waiting for Superman to just hit you?
Considering you've only known me for like two?
2 years.
Probably.
I wish you could have done it at Megacon. That would have been awesome.
That would have been great. But actually, the only autographs I got were my two JSA 13 covers. I have the variant and the regular. They're both signed by Jeff Johns and Dale Eaglesham. You know my Jeff Johns story. Really cool.
Jeff? Just say Jeff, goddammit.
Yeah, Jeff.
Okay.
Jeff.
Jeff signed JSA for me and listened to me ramble on for a good 3 minutes and was very gracious. I love you, Jeff.
Mr. Wade, I'm sorry.
Mr. Wade, I'm very sorry about that.
Oh, and hey, Mr. Wade, congratulations on Brand New Day.
Congratulations on not bothering to tell us when we asked you specifically.
He couldn't yet. You know, they have set, like, things and stuff.
Or maybe he just didn't find out until, like, the next day.
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking.
Let's just go with that. Let's go with that.
Because Mark Waid, you know, he's a stand-up guy.
He is.
Would he? He wouldn't lie, would he?
No.
Sean McKeever, a little shifty.
Sean McKeever, a little shifty. And Palmiotti still has my wallet.
And me and Grant Morrison are going to Sweat Lodge in about a few days.
Shut up.
Get your Monday over with now. Go ahead.
All right, so we all know I'm a Midtown Comics employee. I had to work Monday.
Really?
Monday
I've never heard you mention it, not even once.
Not at all. But I'm working Monday, and I'm guessing a lot of creators are still in town because I got like 6 creators coming in on Monday, and it was just fangasm time. I mean, just first off was Ron Martz, the creator of Kyle Rayner, the current writer of Witchblade, and the artist on which current artist on Witchblade. I can't pronounce his name. They were both there. Ron was getting him stuff, and he actually agreed to come on my podcast. And Ian, of course, you know, I'll get you in touch with him because I know you're a big Kyle Rayner fan. So that was cool. Gail Simone came in, and she signed some stuff for us. Actually, I was running out to the floor grabbing stuff for her to sign, and she also agreed to come back on our show. And of course, Ian, I'll tell her about your show.
What the hell is this? Do I get your leftovers?
No. You know what, Raph? I'm so sick and tired of you rubbing this in our faces. We are not an interview show. Understand, we are a roundtable show, okay? We're not the people who get people on to kiss their asses. That's not us. That's you guys, okay? Just get that through your thick skull, all right?
And by the way, enjoy the Heroes Corner episode this upcoming Thursday when we...
Listen,
in the Radical Comics episode yet to come.
I'm just trying to spread the love here, okay? I didn't say nothing about showing you guys up. So, in fact,
dude.
But now that you mentioned it,
you know that we're fucking with you, right?
Yeah, no. I'm just saying it clear for the listeners, even though this isn't going to be in the show. This part right here.
Oh, sure. It's not going to be in the show. It's going to be in the show. Jesus.
All right. So,
we're not like you, where you say, "Oh no, cut this out," and then you're actually listening to it. You're right. Oh, cut this out.
Wait, hold on. Before Raph continues, everyone on three do a Raph laugh. Okay, on three. 1, 2, 3.
I'm so awesome.
No, honey. No. You do a
I'm not Sufu, it just gets you night.
All right. So let's go down the list real quick. The artist of the 12 showed up. That was cool. Gail Simone showed up with Gabriel Delato. And the last one was no, I think that's it.
Didn't Mr. DiDio show up as well, or was that?
No, he comes in on Wednesday.
Oh, he comes in on Wednesdays. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
cool.
What time does he come in on Wednesdays? What kind of car does he drive? What kind of shoes is there?
I don't know exactly. I don't look at his shoes.
Where does he live anyway?
You're the stalker guy of the group. You should know, right?
He actually lives somewhere. I think in Jersey. I'm not too sure though.
Oh, okay, cool.
I just want to know his blood type.
I think it's B negative.
Okay, cool.
No, Nick, he's not O positive.
By the way, let me know the make of the car and where he usually parks. Okay.
He usually parks right in front of the new school, and he drives a 2005 Honda Accord. Don't ask me why; he just does.
Are you serious? You're just pulling this out of your butt?
Yeah, everything I've said since you've said that, I've pulled out.
I'm very glad. Because if you were telling the truth, I'd have to be scared.
Seriously, how the hell would I get all that information? Really?
By following him.
He was a very good deadpan, though.
Yes,
very good delivery.
By following him everywhere.
I don't have the time to do that. Right. I wish I did.
All right. Well, I only got one sketch at the con. I'm on Mr. Eigel's list, and I'll probably pick it up at Super Show. Well, for one thing, I'm going to give him my sketchbook at Super Show also. But I got on his list for a Miss Martian, and I'm going to probably get that, you know, then. But the one that I got was a Julian Weidel Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle, which was brilliant. And didn't get any autographs, but... Chris got an autograph from David Mack, and so did Jenny. So they were happy.
Yeah, I actually got a bunch of autographs from Mack because I was just like, here's everything I've ever dreamed of you putting your hands on. Sign it.
Because he's your Mack daddy, right?
That sounded better in my head.
excuse me. That's what she said.
Let me tell you something about David Mack. Danny was doing the interview. And he just shot her this smile, and for a second, I was like, damn, I want to have this guy's baby. Because this man is a very pretty man.
You know,
and he's so awesome.
That's actually how I feel when I hear David Cook sing, so that's fine.
I thought you said David Cohn from the New
Whenever David Cohn sings, it's just like it's music to my ears. David Cohn sings? Come on, man.
He puts no hair.
Shut up, Raph.
Perfect game. Perfect game. Get it right, punk. All right.
Shut up, Raph.
No stock.
Everyone. Yeah, I didn't get that many autographs or anything. What did I get? I got a Kemi sketch from Mac. I got Skivnerd's autograph, my Green Lantern Rebirth, because I can never find Jeff Johns. Ugh, sigh.
His name is Jeff.
No, I said it on purpose. I know. I'm calling him Jeff Johns from this point on.
Okay.
Unless I call him Mr. Jones.
Okay.
But then I start thinking Counting Crows, and I get distracted.
Hmm.
But I got Rebirth signed, and then actually, Mac was sharing a table with Oming, so I got Towers Roleplay signed as well.
Cool.
Which was very nice.
Nice. Well, and I just remembered the other thing that I got signed. Well, technically, it's not that, you know, I specifically got it signed, but they signed it for me, which was actually incredibly generous of them. When I interviewed the guys from Air Force, they sent me, they gave me a signed copy of the graphic novel. And it's a gorgeous graphic novel, but it's really cool that they, took the time out to sign it for me and, actually give me a copy. So that was really cool of them.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. And Juan, what'd you get?
I got a Jamal Igo Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle sketch. And that's it, because I did a lot of self-control at this con.
Nice.
I should have gotten a Jamal Igo sketch. I figured out now what I want him to draw for me, and now next time I go to a show, I will get it done.
Well, why don't you
CDS Super Show?
Yeah, you should go to Super Show.
CDS.
We got space for more in the car, Danny.
Yeah. Yes, problem is, you need to get your own hotel room.
You tell me when, and then we'll figure things out.
Cool.
But.
Cool, no.
Because I decided I want a sketch of Nightwing choking Joker.
Ooh.
Cool.
Looks like Nightwing's going to have to choke a bitch.
He's not afraid to. Did you read that last time?
Don't say that. Now I'm considering that has to be the caption of it. But no.
Okay, if you get that as your caption, then I'm going to give you a high five.
And Brent, okay. What did you get?
Yeah, Brent, what did you get?
I'm really interested to know.
Yeah.
You got Let's drunk. See. Yeah, I got drunk.
Cool.
No, really, I didn't.
Did you get drunk to sign it?
Yeah, he was actually kind of an asshole. You know, a drunk asshole.
Was he eating monkey fetuses?
Was he slurring his words?
Could you understand him through the accent?
So sorry, I can't understand you through your accent.
Are we talking about drunk or Morrison?
That's what I was hinting at. That's what I was hinting at. All right. Well, and if there are any other questions that Brent would like to ask, now would be the time to do so, because I'm not going to ask any questions, because that's not my role in this episode.
You should shut the fuck up then.
Okay then.
Put your hand on, please, bitch.
See, that sounded even better because you were like a little distorted there, so it actually made you sound like Darkseid.
A quick warning to the three of you who haven't finished reading Countdown yet. Slight spoilers for the end of Countdown coming up from, I think, issue 2, if memory serves me right. So, yeah, let's just say it's for the last 5 issues of Countdown, even though I know that it's, like, only one specific issue. But just to be on the safe side, don't want to piss anybody off accidentally, okay? So, yeah, spoilers, Countdown. I'm going to stop talking now.
Darkseid is no more. What?
No spoilers.
I'm so confused. I don't even think it's a spoiler.
Okay, all right, never mind. Continue.
He is no more, so how is he the villain? I'm so confused. Did anybody ask that?
No, nobody did.
That would assume people ask intelligent questions.
Yeah, that, and I don't think Raph has read Countdown number 2 yet.
I have.
Oh, you have? Oh, okay. I thought you got an... I forget. You don't do shipments anymore. Oh. Okay, all right, yeah.
I buy them from the store now.
Oh, yeah, okay. Has everybody here read Countdown number 2 at this point?
Did I?
Are people that would give a shit about it?
Hope the listeners have.
I mean, everybody on the call right now, does anybody give a shit?
No, you can't.
I'll be reading it soon, so it doesn't make a difference.
Okay. Well, Darkseid's kaput. Darkseid's RIP.
Yeah, I keep... the Newsarama video, somebody said Batman rip or whatever. I was like, come on. It's R.I.P. Why don't they just call the fucking thing Rest in Peace?
I know.
Batman, Rest in Peace. Batman, Rest in Peace. Is that fucking
he's
hard?
Not dying.
In issue
it's not like it's not like saying S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, Strategic Hazard S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Logistics Directorate, whatever shit.
So does anybody think that perhaps Orion will be the big villain of Final Crisis as opposed to Darkseid?
Maybe.
And technically, Orion has to die before the Fifth World comes back.
Right. Well, that's what happened in issue two, Danny. Orion kills Darkseid.
He fulfills the prophecy.
Okay.
Yeah. So now Darkseid is kind of not living. He's eating worms.
Which makes me wonder what's going to happen in Death of the New Gods number 8.
The Black Racer has to kill Orion.
The Black Racer's dead.
Black Racer's dead.
Then how the fuck is he in Final Crisis?
Exactly.
I don't know.
It's Morrison. It has to do with Seven Soldiers. I'd heard that Seven Soldiers involved the New Gods, so maybe that something from there is going to play in. I don't know.
Is the New Gods? Because that guard, those Darkseid, Mr. Miracle, all different people.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they're reincarnated or something. Perhaps, who knows?
Perhaps. Oh, it's a different set altogether. Anyway.
All right, let's go back.
What do you think was the biggest piece of news that you heard at the con? Because I really didn't think there was that much big stuff announced. So it's kind of disappointing reading all the reports and stuff. But like they had a lot more of the big news last year, you know, than this year.
Right. And that might have to do with what time of year it was taking place too, because I think that because it was the beginning of the year in February, there were more big deals to be announced. And this time around, because it's April, it's kind of like in the middle of the of like the system, and they haven't really actually had anything that they had to announce at the con. I don't know. I guess the biggest thing that was announced for me was Mark Waid on Brand New Day. Other than that, that there was going to be a Brand New Day Secret Invasion issue. That was kind of cool, and not really
an issue. Or is that a miniseries?
It's an issue. It's an issue. I believe it's going to be a one shot. I could be wrong. There could be more than that. Oh, yeah. Well, this and the other big news was, of course, Gail Simone and Nicole Scott on Secret Six.
Yes.
Somebody else kind of burned out on all the Secret Invasion. Like, they announced, like, Secret Invasion, all these different one-shots and miniseries and stuff. FF, Spider-Man, what else is coming? I don't even know.
Well, Avengers Runaways.
Yeah. Well, Avengers Runaways, I knew about already.
I'm just kind of like, I'm not going to get this at all.
Yeah, well, there's also like 20,000 Final Crisis tie-ins when they said that there weren't going to be.
See, I'm actually interested in getting those, though.
Yeah, those are actually going to be good.
Yeah, okay. Now, excuse me, Mr. DC fanboys, okay? I am a Marvel fan, mostly. So I am thoroughly enjoying Secret Invasion so far.
So am I.
I would like to
see how these are going to take place. You know, whether or not they're going to be good. I'm not going to get all of them, just like I wouldn't get all of the Final Crisis tie-ins, but the ones that I get, I'm sure are probably going to be good.
I don't think I'm going to get Secret Invasion Frontline, because it doesn't sound that necessary, and it doesn't sound like it's going to have Ben Urich and Sally Floyd in it.
Right.
Which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Well, I'm not planning on getting that either, but the other ones that were announced, like the Young Avengers Runaways
I was thinking about getting, but then I was like, well, I got the World War Hulk X-Men one, the three issues, mm-hmm. and that was okay, but really it had nothing to do with anything.
Right.
So I'm just kind of like, and I could have skipped out on World War Hulk Frontline just as easily, too, because they really had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, well,
I only got it because the Civil War Frontline had a lot to do with stuff.
I think there's going to be certain ones which are going to add to the story, and then there's going to be other ones that really don't, and that's going to happen with any crossover. You know,
it might just be one of those things where I don't pre-order it, but I might pick it up in the shop when
right.
I buy it or something.
So translation, you wait until I tell you that it's good, and then you just go ahead and buy it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool. Because, I mean, I'm going to be picking up most of these. I know I'm picking up the Spider-Man one and the Fantastic Four one. I'm definitely picking up. I don't think I'm going to pick up Frontline because I didn't really enjoy Civil War Frontline that much, even though I didn't pick up World War Hulk Frontline.
Penance.
Yeah, thank you. His parents are alive. I don't know. I mean, the other ones just all look tasty morsels. You know, I'm a sucker for these tie-ins and crossovers. I don't know. Well, yeah, Danny, were there any, like, big announces that you were really happy about at the con?
The pins at the end of DC Nation were most exciting for me.
Explain that to the people out there, because it's possible that they might not know.
Oh, yeah. So they were handing out, there were only two pins, right?
There
or were there three?
Three, actually. Yeah.
Okay, because I only saw two.
Okay.
And got it, there were pins with Nightwing on it and Jason Todd, mm-hmm. and they were both saying, I am Batman. And what was the third one?
Don't forget Tim Drake and Hush.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also, they finally lined it up where I'm not laughing hysterically at the thought of Jason Todd fighting Dick Grayson. It's now actually an interesting idea. So I'm looking very much forward to that. This might just be because of, you know, what I've read for the past few years, but I'm not really at all interested in Secret Invasion. It's more Final Crisis for me. Mm-hmm. So,
well, what I found the most interesting was that that pin that said, Hush, I am Batman, because I'd never expect Hush to even want to be Batman.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Because he's Hush?
Yes.
Cool. So let me get this straight on Hush, because I don't know a lot of the backstory after that that Jeff Loeb run. So he's not Tommy Elliot?
He is.
No, he has Tommy Elliot hostage.
Okay, you know what? That AJ Lieberman stuff is not in continuity anymore.
Yeah, it's
so
crap.
It doesn't really matter.
Basically.
They threw it out the window. I mean, I don't think that run even ended. They just cut the series right then and there. So
no,
I don't think
it ended.
That.
But it ended with the him. I forget who did this. Tommy Hush had some weird surgery or whatever. Batman put an implant in him. Oh, the Joker was doing surgery on Hush. It was really weird and just like...
It was a three-way fight. It was strange.
No, it was disjointed. It was just crap. So don't even worry about it.
Okay. All right. So
and Paul Dini's going to set it up. Paul Dini's going to set up Hush in his detective run, and then it'll be RIP stuff. So
yeah.
Find out who he is, probably in detective for sure.
And one of the announces actually after the con, well, in Lying in the Gutters, which I hope is actually true this time around, two things that were overheard at the con. Number one, that Dan Jurgens is taking over Booster Gold after Geoff Johns is gone, which should be pretty cool because, you know, he created the character. And, you know, his art's been good on the series, and he's been a part of it. And the other one is that Paul Dini might very well be doing a Zatanna series. And after the way he's been writing Zatanna in Batman, that's going to be mighty cool.
It will.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, Raph, are you taken aback by any of these Secret Invasion like tie-ins, or are you actually looking forward to them as much as, say, like the Final Crisis ones?
Well, once I heard the Final Crisis ones, they look great. I mean, it's three of my favorite writers, Rucka, Johns, and Morrison. But the reason why I was so negative on the Secret Invasion miniseries and all that is because the ones from Civil War and World War Hulk burned me real bad. I mean, Frontline was okay for Civil War, but then the last few issues just kind of just destroyed it for me. Mm-hmm. And the World War Hulk X-Men, I mean, it was good, but it wasn't necessary at all. It had nothing to do with the actual World War Hulk event. It happened before it. So I'm a little burned out by those little miniseries then. But to find out what's going on with Spider-Man in Secret Invasion is pretty cool. To find out how the Skrull characters in the Runaways and Young Avengers playing it are going to be... I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
And to see Elijah come back and kick the crap out of Fantastic Four is pretty interesting, too.
Yeah, but considering that we haven't seen Elijah in how many years now?
Yeah, really. I want to find out what happened to her. I never knew what happened to her. She just sort of disappeared.
She did, actually. I believe they explained it. There was an issue. I don't know if you picked it up, but when Heroes, right after Onslaught, there was like a wrap-up issue of like all the like loose ends.
I wasn't reading Marvel back then.
Okay. All right. Well, there was a wrap-up issue where the leftover members of the Fantastic Four at the time, which were Elijah, Kristoff, and Scott Lang, because they were all like part of the extended family.
Right.
They all decide to go their separate ways. They try to be the Fantastic Four for a little while. It fails, and then they just decide to go their separate ways. That's the last time Elijah was brought up.
Wow.
It's been that long.
For years.
Yeah. So, and that was back in, what, 98?
No, not 96, 97.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so...
That wasn't reading until 96.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's cool that they're finally going back to her. But, yeah, Juan, let me throw it to you also. Secret Invasion, you happy about all the crossovers that were announced at con?
No, I'm not picking them up. I'm going to just stick to the series. So, you know, they could come out. If they're good, I'll get them in trade. If they're really good, I'll run and pick it up. But, If Marvel hasn't been impressing me lately, and they're trying really hard. So that's good, but right now I'm just really, really psyched for Final Crisis.
Right.
Just because the DC Universe itself has become an entity. And that is awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
And for other reveals at the con, I was actually very happy to hear about the Farscape comics. Because
yeah.
I was a huge fan of the series back when it was around.
Yeah, you know, it was a good show. A lot of people didn't watch it, though, and unfortunately it got canceled, but people should give it a shot. You know, Ben Browder, Claudia Black, great chemistry on screen, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of shows, did you guys go to the Venture Brothers panel?
I wanted to, however, if I would have, I would have had to sell my soul, because that's the only way you would have actually been able to get into that room, because it wrapped around like 87 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I would. Okay.
They moved it into the biggest room where they had like the DC Nation and all that, and it was still not mm-hmm. enough room for everybody.
Wow, because I had heard somewhere that the guys that created it they wouldn't mind doing a comic after the series is done, because they said they're only going to do like 4 or 5 seasons in total.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That could be a lot of fun. Yeah. Well, that was also mentioned at the Avatar panel, actually. That,
oh, really?
Yeah, that after the third season is done, they're not done with the universe. They said that whether it would be in some sort of spin-off series or whether it would be in comic books, they want to be able to continue the series and maybe explore the universe a little bit.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Avatar panel was great. It was fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah.
I also wanted to bring up like my favorite reveals from the con, the Power Girl ongoing series.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and the next JSA arc is going to have Black Adam and Isis. I can't wait to see what happens.
Are they getting Mankey to draw it? Or is it going to be... Because that would be wonderful.
Probably still Eagle Shen.
Ah, see.
Yeah, probably still Eagle Shen.
Because I love the way Mankey was drawing Black Adam.
So I bet they're going to be Team Felix Faust then.
Yeah.
Sea Hatter at the end of that series.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, any other reveals out there in reveal land anybody wants to bring up? Or is that it?
I think you guys covered everything I was interested in.
Yeah, that's about it. I'm all tapped out.
Cool. All right. Any other questions from the Peanut Gallery, Mr. Cassina?
No, I think that's it.
Peanuts?
Mm-hmm.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Well, then, I believe we are down to final thoughts. And we shall begin the final thoughts on said comic book convention with Mr. DeJesus.
Could you come back to me?
I was waiting for that. I actually picked you first just so I'd be able to hear those words, because it's been a while.
let me write my soliloquy starting now.
Oh, I love you, man.
All right. Now I know you're gay.
Yeah, fuck
you
off.
You just said you love a man.
Yeah.
You want to know you're gay? You play with all male hero clicks.
And you want to know how I know Raph's gay? Because he splooges on Dan DiDio every time he sees him.
No.
Oh, Dan DiDio. I love the bald head and the goatee.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, for the final thoughts on the con, first I'll go to Brent.
Hope you guys had a lot of fun.
Okay, great. Thanks, Brent. And let's move it on to Danny.
It was weird, sort of half being at a table and half and still having the experience of standing on those lines and everything. But all in all, it was a really good experience. Glad I got to chill with you guys. And can't believe my first interview was quite as insane as it was.
Hey, well, Brent's first interview was Mark Waid.
So he knows how I feel.
I don't, because I don't know who you talk to.
Oh, David Mack.
Oh. Okay.
And he's my god, so.
Oh my god, you're his Magog.
That's that New Adventures.
That's so true.
Magog.
Yeah. You just be, oh lord, I can't believe you just said that. Okay. Now I have a horrifying desire to go up on my DVD collection and watch the first 2 seasons of Andromeda. Thank you very much.
Does that have anything to do with David Mack?
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with David Mack?
He said Magog.
Yeah. Magog was an Andromeda character and also a Kingdom Come character, obviously.
I thought we were talking about David Mack. Oh,
we were, it's okay. There.
It was too geeky for Brent.
Yeah.
It was
one of those word association things.
Yeah. Well, I did like David Mack's art in New Avengers because it was more of his original style, and that was more to my liking.
I didn't.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't like his collage stuff in Daredevil either, so I'm just not a Mack fan.
Yeah.
Well, I like him solely for his stuff. I'm not big on him, like, on the Avengers, like when he's drawing for Ben. This is mainly just his Kabuki stuff.
Gotcha. Cool. And we will swing it over to One Day Raph.
All right. You know, it's interesting because I'm a big fan, and now I'm working for one of the largest retailers in New York.
Really? Which
God,
one?
No.
Which one? I have no idea.
The Town Comics.
Really?
Anyway,
wow.
It's so interesting now. Like, I'm totally involved in my fandom and all this stuff, and it was really cool to be there, even though it was only one day and 2 hours on the weekend. But if I'm not working for Midtown next year, if I'm working for Marvel DC or whatever, I would love to be all 3 days. I would love to have another podcast arena table. It's really cool just to meet other people and talk about what they like and just having them on the show. And it's great. What was great was our first interview was Jamal Igle. And just on Thursday when we were setting up, when Jamal saw me for the first time, I mean, he treated me real good. He was like, "Hey, Raph, how's it going?" And, you know, he gave me a hug. And I'm like, this is cool. I mean, the guy who drew one of my favorite Nightwing runs is giving me a hug, and he knows who I am and everything. And it's really cool. It's cool that we have this, that we can do this. We can talk about what we like and just meet the people that, you know, whose work we like. It's awesome. So I can't wait for next year, even if it is for one day.
Did you ask him why he left Nightwing in that early?
He actually got pulled off the book. He's actually going to be doing something with Geoff Johns. He can't say what. We tried to ask him, but he wouldn't say.
But like he got pulled off that, and they did fill-in issues of like Teen Titans, and he's doing Tangent Superman, whatever now.
Yeah,
kind of like.
He has an open invite. He has an open invite to go back to Nightwing whenever he wants. That's what he told me. That's actually in the interview. So yeah.
And plus, I mean, we're obviously enjoying the current art, on Nightwing. So at least we get a good deal out of it.
Yeah, Rex Morales.
Yeah.
No, Don Kramer. Don Kramer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
Isn't it Rex Morales?
No, it was Don Kramer on the last issue.
Oh, okay. Well,
and
well
for, like,
Don Kramer,
like the
too.
Next two or something.
Then Rex comes back, I assume.
I don't know. I didn't think Rags would be on it that long because anything anymore.
I didn't get my previews yesterday, so I can tell you.
And I didn't get. I think I didn't actually read through the most recent issue of Nightwing yet. It's still sitting there waiting to be read.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yes, I knew. Well, I'm just happy that I caught up on Blue Beetle finally.
Oh, so good.
I read issues 18 through 25 back to back to back to back to back.
Oh, I need to do that so bad.
Yeah, for my thoughts on the con, this is the first time, actually, and I mentioned that I was going to be doing this in the first part of this, that I was going to be doing roaming reporting, but I actually didn't do that the entire con. I sat at the table, I met people, I enjoyed it, and then we, creators came to me, which was a really weird experience. You know, people would, you know, come and pimp their book, and I'd asked them if they wanted to be on the show, and then they'd sit down and they'd have a good time, and that was a major change for me. The con floor in and of itself was so much easier to go through this year. I'd still like it, as I mentioned last time, that if they were just stick to one aisle per booth, as opposed to doing this like one and a half thing they did with something like the DC stuff and the Tokyo Pop booth, because it's very difficult to like go back to the previous aisle when you're all of a sudden being led down a different one. So that's a bit of a pain in the ass, but they can deal with that. The stage was nice where it was, although it was a bit loud, but, you know, we'll deal with it. Artist Alley. What? I can't hear you. Artist Alley was actually bigger this year than it was last year. And having it where it was, it had its nice little area all to itself with two separate portions devoted to it. And a bunch of wonderful creators were there, and it was nice talking to them. And yeah, just meeting people and hanging out was just fantastic this year. And even sharing a room with Jim was okay. I was actually setting that up for a gay joke, so if you want to just go ahead and throw them out now, by all means.
No, you're gay.
You know how I made your
balls for you while you're showering?
Did you play with his hero clicks?
Stop it. That's my joke.
Yeah. You forgot to sign the waiver before you came on here. So, sorry, dude. But, yeah, no, it was just, in general, wonderful, wonderful con, and I can't wait for next year, even if it is going to be freezing cold.
Did you stay with Jim because you stayed with Raph at MegaCon and he swore you off and you never did that again?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Well, no, it was more like I didn't want to go home on Saturday because it would have taken me an hour to get home. I didn't know how long we'd be out, and I was exhausted. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to take these four couch cushions and I'm going to turn them into a bed. And I did. It was a narrow bed, but it was comfortable.
And you brought clothes with you?
Yes, I brought clothes. No, I slept in the nude. What the fuck, man?
I don't know. I'm just curious how you just decided all of a sudden.
Well, I decided the day before.
You're really curious.
I decided the day before. I brought a change of clothes and stuff like that, and then I stayed with them on Saturday.
That's what I wanted to hear, that you planned ahead. I was just kind of picturing you going on the whim, going, now I gotta go home.
Yeah.
And then all this con funk that you always complain about, you'd have.
Well, see, I go around to every hotel.
They were pumping the AC so badly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was freezing, so there would be no con funk.
Well, I was just going to say that I leave a change of clothes at every hotel in New York, so I just had to call down to the bellhop and be like, it's Ian, bring him up. And that was it, really. And over to Juan.
Well.
You guys have 10 minutes?
All right.
And now A Woman for Us by Juan.
For 3 days in New York City, 60,000 people in attendance at New York City Comic Con. 60,000 people. That means that from those 60,000, 10,000 people were diehard comic fans. 60,000 people will cross over from movies, films, and as well as television, especially from Heroes. And it shows that the mainstream is starting to tap into our geekiness. Now, I say our geekiness because we were here first. And this show caters to us, as well as the mainstream. And it strikes that balance well enough. And I appreciate the makers of the show and how they noticed all the complaints that we bitched and moaned about last year for about 3 or 4 months, and they said, fine, have it. In true comic book fashion, they gave all the fanboys exactly what they wanted. And for that, we are greatly appreciated. Just one thing. Get that comedian off the goddamn stage. He was not funny. Right? When he's there screaming at people while I'm trying to conduct an interview with Gail fucking Simone, get him off the fucking skate. All right?
Isn't that kind of hard to do?
I'm not afraid to smack a bitch. And I will walk up, no matter if it's kids' day or not. I will punch the shit out of him.
Whoa, man. Back it up, man. Back it up. Don't make me hold you back.
No. Stop.
I'm going to let him go.
Wait, I'm loud. I'm funny.
You got to let me go because I got one thing to say.
Creators,
fans, and podcasters came together for 3 days of magic. And in that 3 day of magic, a girl played with my hero clicks. Raph got to have his fanboy orgasm by talking directly to Jeff Johns without having a security guard present. Right. Ian finally came into his own as a mainstay of podcasting. And Danny got to meet her idol. And I got to fuck around and joke with Carmine Infantino. Nothing else to say. New York Comic Con 2008 was fantastic, and 2009 will be even better.
And don't forget, it was bigger, it was better, and it had double the space.
Don't forget, it was also uncut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you probably have a higher probability of getting pregnant.
But there's no, but he can clean, but New York Comic Con can clean itself better.
Oh, let me just tell you this quick Batman story.
Uh-huh.
I was going to the bathroom, right? And I'm standing there, right? And there's three stalls because for some reason there's only three urinals. So I'm standing there and I go, and this douchebag takes the middle urinal, right? So I look at the guy next to me and he holds up one finger. And that's an international sign for one stall in between because there's no divider, right? So I'm standing there. And here comes this Batman going. So he comes in, right? And I look over, and it's Tim Burton's Batman, except this guy is 40 pounds overweight, right? Shouldn't be wearing black spandex, right? And he looks over, and I hold up my finger going one stall in between. And he shrugs his shoulder and pulls up right next to this guy, right? He takes his big wide stance, right? This is a grown man in a Batman costume. In a bathroom, pulling up right next to him, and he goes, and he unclicks his utility belt, right?
Oh,
this fucking Batman unclicks his utility belt.
And can you repeat that sound effect?
Yeah, it goes, and it goes right to the floor, right? And I'm standing there, I look at the guy next to him, right? And then the guy just unzips, right? Probably like unrolls something else, and just drops his hands to the side. Looks up to the ceiling and goes, oh. Oh, and then he goes, oh. Like he has to pee. And then he goes, and then,
oh my God.
So the toilet has an automatic flush and he goes, right, and me, I'm standing there. I'm surprised this guy is even tucked into the costume. And I look at the guy next to me, and he goes, he shrugs his shoulder and goes, "It's Comic Con." And that's exactly what New York Comic Con 2008 was.
I believe that.
Well, I don't think anyone can top that.
I believe there's only one other thing to say on this episode, and that is we're done.
Perfect timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast
Network. You're being a little premature on that because an episode can't end without promoting somebody else. So before we wrap this baby up and before I ask everybody where they're from, while Raph still laughs hysterically, here is a promo for Alternate Reality. You done? You done, Raph? You good? You good?
I'm so easily amused.
I'll just go ahead and play the promo.
Yeah.
I'm Batman. Oh.
Hey, John. What's up?
You were
not much, darling. I'm just trying to figure out how to get more people to listen to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. It's our show about everything related to comics. We do a pick of the week, and we do news, reviews, and previews for all things related to comics. In addition to that, we talk about all the stuff we're into. Movies, TV, video games, and so forth. It's everything a comic book lover needs to know about what's going on in the world of comics. But I can't figure out how to get more people to listen to the show.
Maybe you should tell them to go to alternatereality.podomatic.com.
That's a fantastic idea, Charlie, and while they're there, they can listen to our current episode as well as previous episodes. Thanks. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Knowing is indeed half the battle.
Go, Joe!
Uh-huh. All right.
Let's say, for Alternate Reality, mm-hmm. I like their show. It's one of the newer shows I'm listening to that I really like. And their audio quality is not that bad. That's just a promo.
Okay.
But they're really fun to listen to, so check them out.
Yay!
And but the only problem I have with them is they like Teen Titans Year One, and I think it sucks. And one of the guys dissed Blue Beetle and said he wasn't going to bother to read it. So I called him up on their voicemail line, and I was like, "All right, you guys need to start listening to it because that's ridiculous. You're not listening, reading it." So yeah, the next voicemail episode you're going to hear me. So listen to that.
Well, I tried to listen to my Blue Beetle, but it didn't really say anything.
Unless you heard, like, the sound of the pages rattling, you know?
Yeah. And I like Teen Titans Year One also, so I guess there must be something wrong with me.
Just the first three issues kind of just, like, turned me off. I was like, really? Are we really going to turn the heroes bad? Really? Is this not overplayed at all?
I don't know. Really? It was nice old-fashioned romp fun.
Well, that's not what I wanted.
okay. It's what I wanted.
It doesn't explain why they came together.
Yes, it does.
It's a stupid reason.
No, it's not.
It was lame.
Your face.
Lame.
So is your face.
Oh. All right, let's wrap it up here. Raph, what's up coming on Geeks Unite? And Juan can chime in too. And so can Danny, because technically you're all three the same person.
No.
One of us.
Well, on episode 25 Geeks Unite, you'll hear all our interviews from your Comic-Con. Episode 26 will be a pile diving episode. And episode 27 is Samurai 7, the wrap-up of that. We did that, I think, in February, so we're going to finish that real soon. And that's all I know for the pipeline.
Can I suggest a Season 2 Torchwood episode at some point?
Yeah, I have to catch up on it. I've only watched the first three or four episodes, so yeah.
Good, okay. Cause if you,
once the season wraps, we can do that.
It's the season wrapped, so that's okay, why, we can that's why. That's why I'm asking, yeah.
Mid-May.
Cool. Okay. And Juan, what's upcoming on Geeks Unite?
Probably everything that Raph said, and I also want to talk to him about doing a Crisis Core with Danny, a Crisis Core episode, review and detailed talk about the game, because it is that awesome.
Excellent. And Danny, what's upcoming on Geeks Unite?
What he said.
Cool.
Pretty much, yeah.
Excellent.
But she's not playing with my hero clips.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going near his hero clips.
You don't want to know where they've been.
I'm sure Batman was playing with his hero clips at the urinal.
You know, this joke is already played out. It's only been one episode.
I know. I'm just so amused by it. It's just hilarious. The thought of Batman at the urinal.
And
so, what is the email for Comic Time?
Not yet. And Brent, any BK's bullets upcoming?
I don't know what's in the pipeline because one of you guys flushed, and now I'm kind of scared to look in it.
So, Brent, what's upcoming on BK's bullets?
I just told you I don't want to look.
Will you just tell us, for God's sakes?
I think I got. You know what? I smell it, and it's just too scary to look. No, really. I think I have like a Squadron Supreme thing coming up. Maybe something on Iron Man. The Iron Man series really kicks ass. I should probably save that for our upcoming 22 pages.
Yes, indeed. And a reminder out there. Our next 22 pages will be Invincible Iron Man number 1 by Matt Fraction and Salvador Larroca. So once that's out, we'll do 22 pages of it. It'll be a lot of fun. And yeah, it'll be good times. We're also planning in the works, now that it's been 4 months, like we said, we're going to do a brand new day episode in the style of the 52 episodes we did, and do a whole bunch of issues at once, and go through what's been happening so far. So that's upcoming in the pipeline, and we got the Heroes Corner episode, we got eventually Radical Comics, we got a whole bunch of stuff upcoming on Comic Timing. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yep.
Booyah. All right, and that's all, so... The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're proud members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please send us your iTunes reviews. Dig us on dig.com. And all that jazz. Give the email address for Geeks Unite real quick, Raph.
comicgeeksunite@gmail.com.
Alrighty. Excellent. And yeah, that's all. So thanks for the crew for joining us.
Silence. You're supposed to say thank you. You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. And as always, there's always time for comics. Okay, let me say that again. And as always, there's always time for comics. What the fuck, man? There's something living inside Juan.
Wait, I gotta grapple hook my ass to the roof. Exceeds weight. Shut up. I owe a plane tag. Go up, goddammit. Where the fuck is that from?
And that's what would happen if Adam West Batman was still around today.
Girl who dressed in random clothes and talked to the whole world.
Okay, okay, right, right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, that's what they're paid for.
Okay. You're about to give me some bitch.
Anyway. Yeah, thank you for scaring half the audience away. We got,
Team.
Oh, fuck her. My pain. I have a fever.
A fever for more cowbell?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh, then you're my best friend. Hello, Moo. Hello, Jules. Hello, Cal. Ramon. Scooch forward, children.
Oh. Somehow feel guiltily responsible for this, and I apologize.
Did not feel.
You managed to break Rav.
Because I'm never gonna give you up.
Well, this is making up for the fact that I only had one blooper all that episode. And let's see, there's like maybe two other things we could probably say about this con, so I guess we'll say them. Number one would be, what was your favorite booth at the con? And number two would be, who'd you get sketches from and autographs from? So let's ask the crowd both questions at the same time. We'll start it off with Juan.
You suck. I'm supposed to.
Jamal.
Oh.
I don't.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me go back. Brent.
Thank you. Save over, bastard.
That's no more problems, right?
Brent,
Jesus.
That's one of three.
I'm listening to you guys talk.
Yeah, I know. I thought I just thought that you had zoned out into podcast listening mode. That's all.
No.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
Alright.
It's all you. It's all
so
you.
I guess there's only a couple things to ask left.
Okay, all right. No. Okay, again, say it again. I'm sorry, I just love the fact that you used my exact same delivery because that was hilarious. Continue.
Thanks for the fact.
Right, so I guess there's only a couple. Shit.
You can't do it. You try harder. Keep going.
All right. Okay, deep breath. Let's all take a deep breath. Okay, breathe in. Breathe in, exhale, and out. Exhale, and out. That's the same thing, so you should probably inhale also.
I'm dying, y'all.
Go get the babies.
Brett, go ahead.
Let's try this again. Let me pull up my eyes here.
No beaker, bad beaker.
All right. So I guess there's only a couple things there.
Oh, god damn it.
Let's go.
You're gonna roll with it. You got it. So, yeah, Brent, any other questions that you want to ask? Because I'm not going to do any of those, because that's not my place in this episode. Brent.
He wants to play with my hero clip.